Good evening, and I greet you all in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth, straight away God focused on the earth, and the Bible said that the earth was without form and void. And then God will spend the next 6 days, next 5 days, completing, filling the creation of the earth, culminating, climaxing in the creation of man and woman, Adam and Eve. We believe that all the angelic beings were created by God on the first day when God said, "In the beginning, I created the heavens and the earth." When none of these existed, heaven did not exist, angelic beings did not exist until God declared their existence. And then they all came into existence. Angels are ministering spirits. Angels are all masculine. There is no female angels. The reason is these angelic terms that are used in the Bible to describe them, like seraphim, like cherubim, they are all in the masculine gender. And that's how we know that they are all masculine, not feminine. Furthermore, they have ranks. And so you have archangel, and then you have the ordinary angel. And it appears that Lucifer was one of the archangels. He was one of the chief angels that God had created. And so he was already created as a being that had a distinction and a position. And the Bible said at the end of the sixth day of creation that God saw everything, that it was very good. So there was no problem, there was no sin in heaven and on earth. Everything was perfect. And then God has said to man, "I will now place you in the Garden of Eden. I gave you a covenant of works whereby you must obey. And if you pass the test, you will not only experience temporal perfection right now, but you will be given eternal permanent perfection, that is eternal life. Upon which, at the conclusion of the covenant of works, you pass the test, you will be permitted to eat the fruit of life, the tree of life." Tragically, sadly, they failed the test. But we were introduced to a serpent in Genesis 3, which we are going to talk about, God willing, next Lord's Day. But we know that this old serpent was none other than Lucifer, the fallen angel. He possessed a serpent, and then he used a serpent to deceive Eve. So where did this fallen angel, Lucifer, Satan, where did he come from? Because at the end of God's creation, everything was very good. That means there was no trouble, no sin in heaven or on earth. Otherwise, God would not conclude and say that it was very good. So that means during the period of time when Adam and Eve were in the Garden of Eden during this period of testing, something happened in heaven, which is described for us in Isaiah chapter 14, where Jesus himself, when he was walking on earth, did declare, which we shall look at later on, Luke chapter 10, where Jesus himself said, "I saw Satan, Lucifer, fall from heaven," when he was cast down out of heaven onto this earth. It must have happened during this period of time when Adam and Eve was being tested by God, and then the serpent came to deceive Eve, which resulted in them failing the test, which plunged all of humanity into a state of sin and depravity. Our world was not like what we know it as today, full of dangers, wicked people, evil, and the God of this world is in control. That was never the case. And so what we have here in Isaiah chapter 14 is a description of that moment in time in heaven where this archangel did something so evil that God will now use what he did in heaven to teach us a very precious lesson. Isaiah ministered during the time of Israel's destruction by the Assyrians. If you look at Isaiah's ministry, his ministry spanned a very long time. We do not know exactly when the Lord took him home. Some say that it could be 680 BC. And he started his ministry around 740 BC, which means 60 long years. And although in Isaiah chapter 1 verse 1, we are told that he was a prophet who was stationed in Judah during the reign of these Jewish southern kingdom kings, his ministry was not limited to only preaching to the Jews in Judah. His ministry, if you look at this entire 66 chapters of Isaiah, included many Gentile nations, like in this instance, even the king of Babylon. Isaiah chapter 14 verse 6, that thou shalt take up this proverb, that is from God to Isaiah, against the king of Babylon. Now at this juncture, the empire of Babylon was not the superpower. It was the Assyrians. Babylon was coming up. Babylon will rise up to superpower status during the ministry of Jeremiah, which will witness the destruction of Judah in 586 BC. So the Babylonian Empire will not rise to superpower status, yet even though God had already used Isaiah to preach against this soon to appear superpower. What is the lesson for us? What is man's primary goal and agenda? Man's primary goal and agenda is to promote himself. To be number one. To be the greatest, the most powerful. Has that not been the driving force of every one of us? Some of us may rise to certain heights. Some of us may rise to very, very high honors, like becoming a president, like becoming a prime minister, like becoming a king. Many of us will not reach to that level of height, of status, pomp, and glory. But we will try. Rise to become the CEO of our company, and then to bring our company to a higher level so that we can be a CEO of not only a company in a nation, but the CEO, the chief executive officer of a multi-international global company. And so we'll keep on expanding, keep on growing, trying to reach higher heights. Isn't that so? And that's exactly man's agenda. And so some of us may have very humble beginnings. And then when you rise to a certain position and the public becomes aware of it, you may even become very famous, and they might use you as an example and place you in the newspaper for everyone to use as an example to follow. How this person came from humble beginnings, and look at him now. The second, the richest man in Singapore, in this country, in that country, in the world, in Forbes' book of richest people in the world, billionaires, and your name is found in that book. Is that what people try to do? That was what the king of Babylon did. That's what superpowers continue to do even today. The greatest superpowers of our time, America, China, Russia. Oh, it used to be Britain in the early 20th century, in the 19th century. England, Britain was so great and so powerful that they said that the sun never set in the British Empire because it stretches to this part of the world. When the sun set in the west, it rises in the east. Still Britain. That's how mighty and great. But where is Britain today? Relegated to one of the smaller, insignificant superpower. Not that great anymore. No longer called Great Britain. Just simply Britain. And now with their Brexit, they are facing problems that when you look at Britain, many of us don't even consider it as a superpower. But America, Russia and China, they are big. Not just in population, but in military might. And so people fear them. And so those who are in these countries will allow the superpower status to go to their heads. And so they think that they control the world, they control the economy of the world. And this has been the bane of men's lives, and also how they waste their lives away, thinking that this is the meaning of life, the definition of success. How high can I go? The higher, the better. This is what Isaiah warned us, warned the people of Israel, and warned the people of Judah. How hath the oppressor seized the golden city seized? It will fall. Oh, they will come into superpower state. They have not yet. They are now a non-entity at this juncture of the prophecy of Isaiah regarding the king of Babylon. It will be in the future. Perhaps even after Isaiah's death. It was during the time of Jeremiah's reign. The Lord had broken the staff of the wicked and the scepter of the rulers, no matter how great men will become. Do you know how God will break them and destroy their scepter, the representation of their might, the scepter that they hold in their hands, upon death? Do you know how great and how powerful a person can be? Surrounded himself with an army the size of that of China. Maybe you might even have 1 billion soldiers in your army. The moment death strikes, your armies are helpless and useless to protect you. When you die, what happened to your power? Seriously, you look at the power of man. Look at this man called Mao Zedong. Very contemporary, we all know him or knew about him. Very powerful when he was alive. Big posters and pictures of him everywhere you go. They worship him as if he was God. In schools, teaching children to talk about him, to remember him. But the moment death strikes, what happened to his power? Gone. Died with him. You know how real what God said is? Basically to tell us, don't aim to climb to superpower status. Don't aim to climb to be the next CEO, to be the next prime minister or the president. Don't aim to climb. They all will fall. No matter how high you go, no matter how big your company is, no matter how big and strong your country is, and a country is definitely bigger than any company that you could ever dream of, and they all have fallen. You know how many countries were regarded as superpowers in the past? You can't even count them. Some don't even exist anymore. Every single one had their time in the limelight. They are shining in the bright noonday sun. And then very soon, even if it is 100 years, 200 years, 500 years, it will set. They will become a non-entity, and then another superpower will come. And then they will shine for a while. And then they too will also disappear. That has been the way of man. Why? Because as long as you die, no matter how powerful, how smart, how clever you are, upon death, you are rendered useless. All the power that you once possessed disappeared. You know that. And this is to warn us, don't aim to climb. Don't propel yourself, don't motivate yourself by the so-called success of the world. Don't think that because you got yourself out of material poverty and now you are a material millionaire, you have succeeded in life. You have not. Because when you die, you will end up with absolutely nothing. Just as you came into this world naked, you're going to leave this world naked. You can take nothing with you. So do not be duped, do not be deceived, and do not be motivated by material success. Because that is fool's gold. It is never a true success. None of us will be as powerful as the kings of Babylon. You study Daniel, you study the life of Nebuchadnezzar, the greatest of all the Babylonian kings. Soon upon his death, his great empire will begin to decline. Because his son was not good, his grandson was not good. And then slowly they were completely destroyed and replaced by the Medo-Persians, who also at the height of their power, they were untouchable. and the generations that lived at the height of the Medo-Persian Empire thought that the Medo-Persian Empire will continue to remain forever. And then very soon they were replaced by the Greeks, led by a man called Alexander the Great that was unstoppable. He conquered with the speed of lightning. Nobody could stop him. It was said that he conquered all the way right up to the coast and the border toward India, and then he said that I have nothing more to conquer. And then very soon after that, he died at the very young age of 33 or so. Gone. What happened to his superpower status? All his ability, his amazing military genius, all gone, died with him. And then the Greeks were suddenly replaced by the Romans. And what happened to the great Roman Empire? Also declined. Then many other empires took its place, culminating in the British Empire, and then now it also declines. And then now you have all these empires. You think America will be forever? You think China will be forever? You think Russia will be forever? All of them will fall. None will be excluded except the kingdom of the king who never dies. As long as the king is alive and he has superpower, almighty sovereign power status, as long as he never dies, his kingdom remains, right? Nebuchadnezzar died. No matter how great he was in his time, his power died with him. That's what God wants us to realize. The whole earth. Verse 6, he who smote the people in wrath with a continual stroke, he that ruleth the nations in anger is persecuted and none hindereth. The whole earth is at rest and is quiet. They break forth into singing when that superpower dies off, because every superpower is wicked. Millions and thousands of people will die because they have to kill and destroy and maim and rob and plunder, rape before they become superpowers. And so when they are destroyed, those who have suffered under them, they will rejoice. They will break forth in singing. Yea, the fir trees rejoice at thee. The cedars of Lebanon saying, since thou art laid down, no feller is come up against thee. The feller here is not what you and I call a feller. Huh? The feller is a person who cut down things. Like you cut down trees, you are called a feller. It's a person who causes things to fall down. That's called a feller. Just like a liar. You know a liar, L-I-E-R, a person who lie down. A person who ambush people. Just like a baker is a person who bake. Right? So you call a baker. So a feller is a person who cut things down. No more. No feller is come against us because you're all destroyed. Hell from beneath is moved for thee to meet thee at thy coming. Because if you rise to superpower status and you don't care whether you die in sin or not, what is awaiting you? Hell. Waiting for you to come and welcome you. You rise to superpower status, you die in your sin, hell is waiting for you. Is that what you want? You may taste a little bit of glory on earth, no matter how high you climb. But rest assured that when you die, the Bible is very clear. Hell from beneath move for thee to meet thee at thy coming. It stirreth up the dead for thee, waiting for you to join them. So many have gone ahead of you and they are there in hell, in pain, gnashing their teeth, and they are welcome one more. Don't let that be you, dear friend. Even all the chief ones of the earth, all the chief ones, kings, leaders, princes, princesses, everyone, it hath raised up from their thrones all the kings of the nations, and all they shall speak and say unto thee, art thou come, art thou also become weak as we, art thou become like unto us, you all will fall. The pomp is brought down to the grave. The glory of man, the pride of man, and the noise of thy vows, the vows that would be the skin that they use for liquid, and when it is empty, you press it, it makes an empty sound. That's what your life will be. And the worm is spread under thee, and the worms cover thee. Your body will be eaten up. Verse 4 to verse 11 basically tells us that certain judgment against pride. No exception. Certain judgment awaits those who are proud, those who aim to climb, those who are motivated by promotion and more money, because they believe that more money means more power. I can have a bigger say. I have a bigger control over my life. God says, stop it. Stop it. He was even warning kings. Thank God that this warning perhaps was heard by Nebuchadnezzar. Because if you look at his life in Daniel, he became a convert. He became a Christian, in other words. God humbled him and he became a believer. Not his son, not his grandson, Belshazzar. But he became a Christian. Please, open your eyes. Do not be deceived by the devil anymore. Because what we are about to read from verse 12 to verse 15 is a warning to us. It's about Lucifer. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer? Man on earth tried to climb as high as he could on earth. No matter how high you climb, can you climb all the way into heaven? No. And here we have an archangel, not just an ordinary angel, and he was already in heaven. When God created him, he was already in heaven. And all of you human beings on earth, no matter how you climb, you can't even reach heaven. But he was in heaven from the very beginning, and what happened to him that resulted in him falling from heaven? Son of the morning, how art thou cut down to the ground which didst weaken the nations? What does it mean by weaken the nations? God is now using Lucifer as an example to teach all kings, all of us who desire to climb this foolish ladder of height, thinking that that is success, that is the meaning and purpose of life. Open your eyes. That is not the meaning and purpose of life. The meaning and purpose of your existence is to find the solution of sin and death in your life, so that you will not die in sin and end up in hell. That is the purpose. Do not be sidetracked by the god of this world, Satan, Lucifer. Because the Bible tells us that when he fell, cast into the ground, this earth, he will weaken the nation. The word weaken means to prostrate. How will he weaken the nations? He will now cause the nations to not see God, to not see the presence of God, who will cause the nations to be blinded to their own state and condition. That's how he will weaken them. Spiritually speaking, of course, he will divert their attention so that they will not see the state and condition of their spiritual depravity, their sinful depravity, so that they will find a solution. Don't get sidetracked. If you think materialism is the meaning of life, the more you accumulate, the more you climb from a nobody to become a multi-millionaire in your lifetime, you have lived a good life. That is what it means by weakening the nations. He is blinding you. He is causing you not to realize the serious true state and condition that you are in is that you are in sin, you have sinned against God, your Creator, and if you die in your sin, your Creator, who is just and righteous, will send you to hell. And he is trying to keep that message away from you. The devil. That's why when he sinned, God cast him down from heaven onto this earth. He will weaken the nation spiritually. He will not let you see this truth about yourself. And so he will heap upon you all kinds of false, wonderful accolades, praising you sky high. A nobody became a somebody. And then you leap in that kind of false glory because of the ego, the pride in us. Isn't that what happened? Isn't that what many people are trying to do? To become famous? To become recognized? To become remembered by the world? Many of these politicians are doing that. They think that this is life, to leave behind a part of me so that the world will know that I existed. I did not just come into the world and then be forgotten. I have left my mark. I was here. That's our problem. This whole world will be destroyed. Except what you do for Christ. For the King who never dies. You and I will die in sin. And the devil has blinded our eyes so that we cannot see this reality about ourselves. And he did that by diverting our attention away from this sinful depravity, our reality. And he appeals to our five senses: the taste, the eyes, the touch, the tongue. All these so that we spend our life and our energy pursuing after our five senses, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And by the time we find out, the best use of our lives are gone. Oh, you may have a big house, a big car, but when your body is sickly, when your body is dying, whether you die in a big mansion or die in a tiny little cubicle, you think it's going to matter to you? You think all your expensive decorations in your beautiful multi-million dollar mansion is going to bring you any comfort, but your whole body is decaying and you know you do not have many more days left to live? So now you die in luxury. How are you different from a beggar who dies in poverty? Both of you are dying in sin, and both of you will end up in the same place where hell is welcoming you. Take a step back and reflect. This archangel was from heaven. God created it in heaven, and he fell out of heaven onto this earth. No matter how high you climb, I don't think you will ever reach heaven. And this creature was already in heaven, and what did he do? For thou hast said in your heart, God knew, I will ascend into the heavens. I want to climb even higher. And I will exalt my throne above the stars, above all the angels of God. And I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation where people will worship me in the sides of the north. That's the place, the position. People will bow down and worship me. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. Basically, I want to be like God. I want to be God. That was his agenda, and that resulted in God casting him out of heaven onto this earth. And so now he is called the God of this world. When did he become the God of this world? When man fell into sin, man not only surrendered his perfection, man also surrendered his dominion. You realize that? Adam was given dominion over this whole earth. And so when he fell into sin, he surrendered his dominion to the God of this world, because Eve was deceived by the serpent and Adam chose to take the side of Eve instead of the side of obedience to God, and he sinned. And the moment Adam sinned, all of humanity plunged into sin. Because of him, he represented all of us. This record of Lucifer's conduct and behavior is a warning to us. Remember God's judgment against the sin of pride. Open your eyes to see that no matter how you may climb, no matter how high you may go, it will never reach heaven. And when the archangel who was in heaven and who wanted to be like God and to be worshipped, just like when you climb high, what do you want? You want people to worship you? You want people to honor you, to respect you, to be beholden to you? How are you different from Lucifer? No difference. And he was from heaven. You will never even reach heaven. Even at the height of heaven, because of his transgression, God cast him out of heaven. And that was exactly what Jesus Christ said in Luke chapter 10. Please turn to Luke chapter 10. And that's where we were going to conclude. What was the context of what Jesus said in Luke chapter 10, verse 17? The 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils, the demons are subject unto us through thy name. The 70 were sent two by two by the Lord Jesus Christ in chapter 10, verse 1, where they were given the privilege to heal diseases, to cast out those who were possessed by devils or demons, invoking the name of Jesus Christ so that they might experience the power of Jesus Christ. Wherever they went, diseases fled, people were healed, those who were possessed by devils were delivered. All they did in Jesus' name. That's all they did. And so upon the completion of this experience, they came back to Christ and they were very, very happy. They were filled with joy that we have so much power because of Christ in our lives. And then he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Isaiah chapter 14, which God by inspiration gave to Isaiah to warn the king of Babylon that no matter how great and how clever you are, how powerful you are, how high you climb, you are never going to climb higher than Lucifer, who was from heaven, and by his transgression, he was cast down from heaven. And no matter how high you go, by your transgression, you too will be cast down. And so now these disciples, having tasted the power of Christ, Jesus wanted them to realize and understand, you be careful. You think that you have tasted the power of Christ, you now have been promoted to position so high that you can invoke the name of Jesus Christ and every disease will flee from you. And even the fallen angels, the demons are afraid of you because of who you are in Christ. Jesus warns. Lucifer was not called Satan. He was not called the devil. Satan is an adversary. The devil is a slanderer. Whenever the name devil is used, it means he will slander you. Whenever the word Satan is used, that means he will be an adversary. He will put obstacles in your path to stumble you. He was not Satan. He was not an adversary of God until he fell. And so therefore Jesus warned the disciples and warned us. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. But you don't rejoice in this power, because the danger is pride. You mean Christians can also suffer the sin of pride? Look at King David. What was the last and final sin of this man after God's own heart? Pride. He was warned by his general Joab, don't number the people. There's nothing wrong with numbering if you did it for practical reasons. Jesus did ask the servants like Moses to number the Israelites when they were in the wilderness. Nothing wrong with numbering. Joshua also numbered the people before the division of the land. Fine, for practical purposes. But when you number because of pride and arrogance, how great a kingdom I, King David, had obtained for God in my 40 years of ministry. When I received it from King Saul, it was a broken down nation where the borders were small. It was invaded and captured by the Philistines. But now look at what I, David, had done after 40 years. I gained back all the territory. I have brought in peace and prosperity and spirituality in Israel. He took pride. And immediately after that, punishment came. Then he repented straight away. 70,000 died in that sin. Christians can also fall into sin. And so Jesus warns, notwithstanding in this, rejoice not. Stop rejoicing in this. That's the meaning of the phrase, rejoice not. Stop rejoicing because you have tasted the power of my name. Stop rejoicing that the spirits are subject unto you. But this is what you must continue to rejoice, that your name is written in heaven. Because when your name is written in heaven, the sin of pride, all sins will never be found in you. So that when you arrive in heaven, you will never be cast down. Lucifer was cast down from heaven because he sinned. Therefore, you make sure of your salvation while you're here on earth, so that one day when you die in Christ, you will be in heaven, and while you're in heaven, you will be perfect, you will never sin again, you will never be cast out of heaven. But while you're here on earth, you be careful of the sin of pride. That can happen to every one of us, no exception, including Christians. How many of us, when we finish our theological studies, we have done nothing. At that point of our ministry, before we preach our first sermon, prepare our first lesson, we prayed so hard. We prepared with long hours of sweat and tears, fearful, frightened, because nobody knows us yet. We are just beginning our ministry. And then God helped us. And then we started to take off. And then people begin to be blessed by us. And then our name begin to spread. And then we get more and more invitations. More and more doors are open. And then more and more people will praise us and the accolades will keep on coming. Wow, this person can teach well. This person can speak well. You see how this person was so capable when the ministry was given to him, it was floundering. But now look at him after 5 years, 10 years of the ministry. See how it blossomed to what it is today. Look at this small church. It started with so few people. Every time the choir come in and sing, there is no more people to listen to the choir because the choir is the congregation. The congregation is the choir. But now look at this church. After 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, 25 years, how great and how magnificent a church it has become. 400 or 500 people, 600 people, 1,000 person. Is it because of you? Do you think it's because of you? Because of my ministry, because of my ability to preach and to teach, because of me? You think so? We all can fall into the same problem of Lucifer, pride. Climbing. When God blesses us, don't you ever forget. That's why Jesus says, you rejoice only in the fact that you have your name written in heaven. That means, never forget the day you accepted Christ as Lord and as Savior. Never forget how you were born again, how you were saved. How were you saved? Sinners, totally depraved, deserving the wrath of God. Because we have sinned against God, and there is absolutely nothing we can do to appease the wrath of God that we all know we deserve. To die in sin and to be cast into hell. We all know we deserve because we sin against a thrice holy God. And then God in His mercy saved us. Even though we deserve hell, we deserve death. But He sent Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, to take my place, to take my punishment, to die in my place. The wrath of God that was meant for me, Jesus took it upon His body Himself. My sins were upon Him. Even though He was perfect without sin, He took my sin and then He put it on His body and then He took the wrath of God that was meant for me on Himself. And so He was persecuted, He suffered, and then He died when I should have died. But He took my place. And then God accepted what He has done in my place by raising Him from the dead for my justification to forgive me of all my sins because He took my punishment already. And when you remember this, you will not fall into the sin of pride because you will always be grateful and be thankful and be humble. And to know that whatever accomplishment, in inverted commas, whatever blessings you can be to others, and how God brought the ministry from nothing to something, He will get the glory because it is Him who did it all. It is never us. It is always Christ. Lucifer was cited by God in Isaiah's time as a warning to Israel, to Judah, and to all the Gentile kings. And because it is recorded in written scripture for us as well. Open your eyes to see through the deception of the God of this world, the fallen angel, because he has never stopped till today. What was his problem? He wanted to be like God so that the congregation will worship him. Is he not doing the same today? When you live and spend your time serving Mammon, since he's the God of this world, he's in charge of Mammon. Mammon means all the things of the earth. So when you are motivated by money and power as your motive and driving force, you are basically worshiping him. He succeeded. He has succeeded in getting congregations to worship him. He could not get it in heaven. He was cast down. And he's doing it to us. Open your eyes. You are a sinner before God. And if you do not believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, the only one who can save you, you will die in your sin. And God tells us that you will end up in hell. This is not a threat, dear friend. This is a warning of what will happen to us. We are in a state and condition of condemnation. We are not threatening you. God is not threatening. God is warning you and me that this is where we are heading. The moment we are born into this world, we are born in sin. This is where we are heading. God says, I don't want to see you in hell. That's why God sent Jesus Christ to die for you. And that's why God gave you this message tonight. So that you will open your eyes to see that the material world is a world of bankruptcy, a world of vanity, a world of emptiness. No matter how high you climb, you will fall, because when you die, you will have absolutely nothing except hell is waiting for you to welcome you. Don't let that happen. You can do something about it and get out of it. Don't be deluded by the God of this world into thinking that success equals climbing the corporate ladder, climbing out of poverty into prosperity. This is deception. Lucifer climbed all the way to heaven. He was in heaven and he wanted higher. He wanted to be like God. And he was cast out. They are recorded for our learning, because God wants to see you in heaven. And the only way you can enter heaven, which is a place of perfection, and you can remain in heaven, you will never be cast out of heaven again, is when you are no longer a sinner. When you are always holy, righteous, and godly. That's what Jesus wanted the disciples to never forget and to remember. Thank God and rejoice that your name is written in heaven. This is our home. And once you arrive there in Christ, you will never be cast out. Let us pray. Our merciful, loving Heavenly Father, we pray that perchance there might be some sinners who have never accepted Christ as Lord and as Savior. And they have been climbing this imaginary ladder of success as measured in material terms. Help them to see, O Lord, just as you sent Isaiah to open the eyes of kings to see through the deception of the God of this world. Open our eyes to see as well, that we may all one day know that in Christ Jesus we have all our sins cleansed and washed and forgiven by God Almighty, because the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sin, and you have accepted what he has done for me by raising him from the dead for my justification, so that I have been forgiven and been accepted and have been made holy, all ready and fit to enter heaven, my eternal home, where we will never be cast out of heaven ever again. Help us, O Lord, to make sure of our salvation for all of us who claim to know Jesus Christ as Lord and as Savior. Help us not to be proud and arrogant and to be motivated by the things of the world and the accolades and the positions and the promotion of the world, but constrained by the love of our Savior in all humility, knowing that our names are written in heaven, the book of life. May we live only for our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, seeking only to promote and magnify his name, for he must increase and we decrease and become a nobody, so that Christ can be everything to us. Wherever we go, by our good works, may they see Christ in us and glorify our Father who art in heaven. O Lord, teach us, warn us about what happened to Lucifer, so that all of us may be warned and beware and live only for our Savior and rejoice in the fact that Jesus Christ died for us and now he is risen from the dead for us. May we live only for him and for his glory as the clearest evidence that we are now your children. For this we ask with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen.